Are you a clinician in primary care who wishes there were better resources to help you understand how to navigate the concept of triage in modern general practice? We'll boost your triage skills with our dynamic 5-session live webinar course tailored for primary care clinicians. Led by myself and Dr. Ed Pooley from Difficult Conversations, this comprehensive training covers all facets of remote patient triage, whether that be digital, on-call, or other opportunities. Through this course, you'll gain practical knowledge, exclusive hints and tips, and direct access to myself and Ed through open Q&A sessions of the course. Elevate your ability to manage primary care challenges effectively and confidently, and most importantly, safely. Register now to transform your triage approach at bit.ly/GP triage course, the GP in capitals, and we will definitely catch you then. There are various different providers in general practice, and it's not often we see a new provider come in that can do some really cool stuff. And in this episode, I'm really happy to showcase one that I think is absolutely game-changing, particularly helping you tackle that new year and 8 a.m. rush that's happening in general practice and do things just a little bit differently that may surprise you. So let's have a look at Paco GP from Blinks Healthcare as we tech enhance your primary care and learning. Hello, EGP learners, and welcome to this episode where I'm really happy to bring on Gareth from Blinks Healthcare as we talk about a platform that you may have seen a little bit about if you joined us for the online consultation comparison stream we did just before Christmas and stuff, and that's Blinks Healthcare providing Paco GP. How are you doing there, Gareth?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Doing really well. New year, new kind of systems and things happening, and as ever, the challenge of general practice is still there though. And I know you've got some really cool things to show us about what you've been up to and how that may help practices deal with some of that. But before we get on to that, maybe worth knowing a little bit more about who you are and what you're doing, a bit more about Blinks Healthcare, if that's all right.
Perfect. Absolutely. So Blinks Healthcare, obviously, am I okay to share my screen at this point, perhaps?
Yeah, or? Let's bring it on, shall we?
Fantastic. Okay, so I'm Gareth, CEO and co-founder of Blinks Healthcare. I always say that we're in the health tech industry, but we are tech first. We've got 25 plus years of tech health industry experience or technology experience. So that's kind of our background. Certainly based up here in the Northwest, headquartered in the Northwest of the UK, but covering obviously the whole of the nation. Today, we're going to take you through quite a few different things, but I'll just pause and before we jump into the agenda to make sure there's nothing else that you'd like me to cover before we jump into the actual demo.
No, not at all. Let's get cracking.
Okay. So quite a bit to cover. May not get all of it in every bit of detail done today, but we'll certainly give you a lot of hints and tips as to some of the cool features that we've got available to help you in general practice. As you can see on the screen here, we've got an overview of the GP, Paco GP, that's the patient and care optimizer. So Blinks Healthcare, the company, the patient and care optimizer is the product. And we've got a couple of different variants of Paco in our suite of products. So we'll take you through the Paco GP modules. We'll have a little look at the digital front door and the patient journey specifically, how you configure that, what the patient's experience is. We'll take you through that. A little bit of a view of how you then review and do something, action that data back in from the patient. We'll then show you some of the other configuration elements. We'll talk you through our care navigation module, take a little bit of a look at our health forms, which is a real pivotal part of the product. And then we might cover off a little bit on our analytics and how we can help things like call, recall, and some other pieces. And we might give a little hint at what's to come next in terms of the next demo that we do for you with regards to Paco Connect. So what do we do? Paco, as I said, is a suite of products, and we've got three products within it. So we've got Paco GP, which is our end-to-end primary care solution. Paco Connect, which then allows us to take all of that cool functionality at a GP level, but elevate that up to a network level. And Paco 24 is a product that we're building actively at the moment to support urgent care and out of hours. So primary care end-to-end, Paco GP. You can see from the image here, I'm trying to lay out a really kind of all-encompassing product, and hopefully it's comprehensive in the way that it supports you and your use of your EPR. So Paco GP sits on top of your EPR. It'll pull all the data from an analytics point of view and it'll allow you to search kind of core recall patients potentially for long-term condition management, but also any other kind of searches, if it's research, if it's anything else. But within that one system, we want you to also be able to engage with your patients in a really kind of contemporary and different way. So ComSub really enables that on scale, email and SMS, of course, also automatically translating, allowing you to do little things like insert videos so that you as a healthcare professional can really engage with your patient audience. QuickSend is a direct messaging solution, which we'll talk you through in a little while. We then go into health forms. So now this is how can I gather information back from my patients? And quick forms are a way of your staff entering data about the patients in the same way. You've got a digital front door, which allows you as a practice, a PCN or whatever the organization is, to have an access point for patients. Now, traditionally, I suppose this has often been around online consultation triage, but the digital front door can really be for anything. And I think that's really important to take away from this. And we'll show you what we mean by that. The Care Navigator then is the staff led care navigation tool. And again, we'll show you exactly how that's used. The scheduler is really like the patient hub. It's the place where the patient goes to interact and really book an appointment, fill out a health form or do anything, pick up a document that you've sent to them via QuickSend or ComSub. But that's really where the patient interacts. And finally, virtual consultations is we can do video and web chat consultations without the need for you to go back into the EPR. And it'll all be coded back into your EPR. So I'll pause for a second, see if there's any questions, but otherwise we can jump on into the rest of the agenda.
No questions so far. Let's keep going.
Okay. So one last little hint at what Paco Connect then does. You've got all the functionality we just saw here. But then we can elevate that, make it cross-org. We can make it cross-org appointment booking, self-bookings into cross-org slots. You can consult and write back to the patient's home record. It's a single sign-on solution to try and make some of the challenges of network and at-scale working really quite seamless. So as long as we've got the relevant share org agreements, then obviously we can make this work really seamlessly for you. So without further ado, let's jump into the product. And the first thing we're going to do is actually go into the digital front door as if we were a patient. So we arrive at our practice or our PCN or whatever the organization is, digital front door, which can be hosted on your website or a link put through to it, as many of our practices have. And you can configure this completely to your needs. And that's the real key to all of this. We know that we don't know your patients the way that you know your patients. So it's critical that we allow you to configure this to the best possible tool for your patients. So whether it's network services, self-connected service, self-booked connected services, I have a medical problem, maybe you want a button on here for your care home staff or chronic disease management, you can just build this to enable the best possible workflow for your patients. So care home staff, you might want to say there's a health form to complete to request a visit. It might be that you want to have some kind of administration request. I'm interested in participating in research. Well, what we can have there is a health form that the patient fills in, and it's a consent form, which automatically codes the consent back into your patient record. So you can be really creative. You can be really flexible with the services that you can open up to get the patient to be involved in managing their healthcare. I'm going to take you on a quick example of I have a medical problem. We can allow you to configure these pop-ups, warnings. You can put in videos for you to talk to the patients at this point, guide them. But really, this patient knows that they have a medical problem and it happens to be a skin lesion or rash or condition. We're given some more pop-up opportunities if we want to. Again, you can control that and configure. I'll show you that later. We know the patient's going to need their NHS number. If they don't know it, they can click here to get it. And I'm going to add in the details of my test patient. And I will, at that point, send that link to the health form over to the patient. And that's really as simple as it is. And now I'm going to show you how we would deal with that on the other side. So I will look at my messages here in my emails, and I will, in a short moment or two, a quick refresh on that, receive a link through to book. But I've also got a SMS, which I'm going to fill out on my phone quickly, which will allow me to populate a health form for the patient. So really quickly, I will enter this and let you guys see it on the other side. And I'll show you on the email version as well. So let me just go back to my emails. You can see we get an email from the practice. It'll verify my link. Now I can put in either my NHS number or my date of birth, and I get a form to complete. You're able to configure this form exactly the way you want to word it, whether you want to have mandatory fields, mandatory questions, whether you want to allow uploads of videos, voice notes, etc. All of that is possible, and the patient can then review and submit. So let's fill this one out here, but I'll also do one with an attachment so you can see. So yes, I've got a rash. It's been there 3 days. I'll say I've got pain and tenderness. And I have been in the sun, definitely not here in the Northwest. And I will choose a file. In fact, I'll do that one on the mobile so I can show you me taking a picture. Let's do Blinks Healthcare as a shameless bit of advertising for our QR code. And we always try and suggest that you do try and grab the email address and the phone number, just so that if for any reason the details in the patient record are wrong, we have got them. So if they changed their mobile contact yesterday, it's all there. Patient gets an opportunity to review. And once they confirm, that's now back with us. So the patient can still access that in the link to review it at any time. So that's the journey in terms of the patient. And of course, as we talked about, it could be any health form, from a consent all the way through to an asthma review, an ADHD. In fact, I even think there is an ADHD one in this digital front door right now, if I look somewhere, but I'm not sure where it is. So I'll have a quick search. Mental health review of the practice, mental health resources, etc. There's lots of different options. So for now, what we're going to do is we're going to go back into our PACO for the first time, our patient care optimizer. Again, a little bit of navigation here. You've got all the modules that we talked through earlier: analytics, communication, sub web chat, video, health forms, and the care navigator. So these are the healthcare professional facing application modules. And you've got a standard sort of sidebar navigation. You can change the theme should you wish to. Always a bonus. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to review the health form that the patient just submitted. I'm going to do that by using our Rocket Bar. So I'm going to open up the Rocket Bar, and I can see that I've got some notifications here, and hopefully there will be a waiting review skin rash assessment form. So at this point, I'll be able to review the form, see any attachments, so I can open up that and see what's been sent to me. Could be a video, could be a voice note, could be a photo, could be a document, doesn't matter. And there's a couple of things I can do here. So when I'm at the review point here, I can add comments, so reviewer comments, and they will be passed straight through into the patient record. I could add a SNOMED code if I needed to. Again, that will be passed through into the consultation or the patient record. At this point, what I can also do is book a slot for the health form. So if I'm an admin member of staff, for example, perhaps this was a form that came in for an admin appropriate review, but you wanted to get a clinician maybe a GP to look at this. So for the example, it could be FitNote. I might say, well, actually, I need to put this into a session or a slot for someone to review. Well, you can do that. So we can say, okay, it's for today. We're going to pick a health form slot if I have one. See if we have any clinicians available for that. We don't, so I'll use a different one. We'll use face-to-face. But it would basically pull back in real time all of the available slots. And then as we hit save to patient record, it will populate the health form slot or the slot type you've chosen. And it will also pass all that data, everything up here above, into the patient record. So we'll hit save to patient record, and then all that data will flow across seamlessly at that point. So right now, I don't have to be in Paco, the application. I just need to be in my Rocket Bar, and I can do all of that. As I'm reviewing that, I decide, actually, I want to bring that patient in for a same-day appointment, or I want to send them another health form. This is where we use QuickSend. So by hitting QuickSend on the patient row, I've got it set up. My default is a general message, but I actually want to go in and say urgent same-day appointment. So it's defaulted to send an email and an SMS, but if I just wanted to send one or the other, I simply deselect it, and now I'm just sending and looking at the SMS. I've got everything I need here, but if I want to change it, same with the email, I can do that on the fly. That's no problem. If I want to schedule it for later, no problem. Add a health form, no problem. Add a file from the patient record, as an example, no problem. We can go in and we can find files that patient has had. Really terrible cliche example of an x-ray, but forgive me, I'm not a clinician. Tech health, remember, I'm the tech guy. But here we've got an example. You'd be able to find anything you wanted to from the patient record or drag something in. So if you have a blood form and you wanted to drag that blood form in to send to patients so that as they go along for their appointment, you can drag that in and send it, no problem. And multiple attachments. There's no limit to the number of attachments. Everything you send to the patient will, of course, be posted back to the patient record so we can see it. So what are we doing here? We're just taking a look. You don't have to do any of this. This is all preset, ready to go. You should be able to send a quick send in less than 10 seconds. I'm just showing you the options to configure it. If I decided that actually I wanted to make this appointment available to the patient, but only to book with me or only to book with a colleague, I can select the clinicians and that can all be done. But ultimately, the job is send now. And that appointment's gone. I can see all of my quick sends. I can see all of the digital front door activity where patients have come in, they've booked, what health form have they filled in. I can take a look at all of those things. I can see every message and I can see every thread of that. So that's just a quick overview of the kind of Rocket Bar. As you can see, we're hinting at a few of the things that are coming here. But ultimately, we can quick send, we can review all of our messages, we can review and process our health forms. We can create a quick form. What does that mean? We talked about it earlier. I might have a patient with me and I want to use the quick form. This really becomes obvious in Paco Connect what this is for, but if you've got any health form you want to create as a template to enter data into the patient record, you can do that. So I am just going to consult our agenda very quickly to make sure I know exactly what we're going next. So we've done a review of the Paco GP modules. We've taken a look at the digital front door, and we're going to do a little bit of configuration because I jumped a step and went into the submitting of the form and the health form review. But let's go back and just take a look at that digital front door now. So we are back in Paco. And I'll just hide the Rocket Bar. I can minimize that and hide it up in the corner. And I want to go to my configuration. And you can see I've got my digital front door configuration. So essentially, everything you see on the digital front door here, all of these options are entirely configurable and built up by you guys. We can help you with that, of course. But if I want to take a look at one of our examples that we chose, I have a care home staff, for example. So let's just look at how that works and how we interact with it. I'm going to go to the settings cog and I can see care home staff only. I can add a pop-up and I can make sure that is what the patient is, or sorry, the patient or the care home staff member in this sense. is seeing when they click on that button. So I'm going to save that and put that message on so that when we hit the care home staff only, that should then update and allow us to see that information going across. So I will just refresh our page for a second, make sure that I've done that correctly. It's always the case when, in fact, have I already done this on one here for us? Yeah, exactly. So you can configure pop-ups, but what you can also do, just really, really useful to know, is you can control when these buttons or the associated health forms or everything else, you can control when they are visible to the patient. So if we wanted to take one of these off, and let's just go for the highest node of this, we'll make it care home staff. We're just going to say, okay, we don't want that to be available on a Wednesday. So as we save this and we go back to our digital front door, we hit refresh, and we should see that our care home staff button has disappeared. And that's the same for any part of this digital front door. You've got full control. If you want to put it back, I'm sure you can guess it's as easy as going in, making that available, or you can do it by date ranges. You can set times of the day when these things are available. So again, really tailoring it to your audience. So again, I'll save that. I'll do a quick refresh. And we should then see our care home staff button appears back in. So full control. Again, quick pause. Any questions?
No, I think we're good to keep going.
Good to keep going? Okay. Well, in that case, I will jump back to our agenda. So we've gone through the configuration. We've seen the submitting of a health form. And again, remember that could be anything. If you want that to be a consent form, whether you want that to be a signature, absolutely any kind of a health form. I'm going to show you that in just a second. So we did a quick send. We sent a quick send to the patient, and the patient was able to book an appointment based on the configuration that you chose. So for example, if you wanted to say urgent same day as we did, it's got configuration associated with it. I'm just going to show you that now. So let's go to our patient care optimizer. And this time we are going to go to the scheduler config. So we're going to search for the message that we sent to the patient. It was a template regarding a same day appointment. So when I select that, what I can see is I've mapped that to, so follow the squiggly blue lines, and I've mapped that to a face-to-face. And then I can see on the right-hand side, and this is an EMIS example. The same will be true for any EPR. But I can see I've mapped that to a same-day GP appointment. This is a live refresh of data. If you added a new slot now, hit refresh on this page and it would appear. There's no delays. I've mapped that so that what the patient gets when they try and book this is they will only be allowed to book face-to-face. It could be multiple. You may want to give the patient the choice for different scenarios. You might want to map it to six different slot types for, you know, for all I know. But in terms of this scenario, what we're doing is we're allowing the patient to get a same-day appointment face-to-face for this slot type, which is a same-day GP appointment. What are we also doing? Well, we can see live a view of how many appointment slots are available for this time period, which is the next 8 hours. So that's what the patient will receive. They will receive a booking link with a calendar for the clinicians that you select, or if you let them have all the clinicians in that slot type, that's what they'll get. So you've got full control over this. And again, this can be used for not just your EPR, but then the PACO Connect slot types. So really, what does that mean without going into the depths of PACO Connect, which I think is a different session on its own, right? That would allow you to, and I will demonstrate using our little rocket bar. I'll find a patient, which is me. I'll quick send. I'm going to say, I know that my PCN hosts a phlebotomy clinic, and I've been given access as a member of that PCN via PACO Connect to those slots. So I can send my patient a self-booking link. I'll just send it by SMS as an example. I'll just send it by email. It doesn't really matter. I can send my patient a self-booking link, which will take them into a booking link for the calendar, the appointment book for PACO Connect, which is for the PCF. So won't go into any more than that, but just so you know, it's that easy. So think of all the scenarios you guys might have. You know, you want to set something up between maybe just two practices. It might be across an entire federation. It really is up to you, and we can help you configure that at your will.
Hey, EGP learners, have you heard about EPIC, the EGP Learning Podblast implementation consultation with myself and somebody else from out there in primary care? That's right, whether they're in practice, PCN, or wider areas, it's about the journey they've been through to make a change in the working life that they do for the benefit of either their patients, their practice teams, or themselves, and how they went through that journey so you can learn from it and hopefully implement similar or something different in your area. Going to hear about the highs, the lows, the pros, the cons, and the journey they went through to make this a reality. So it's your opportunity to learn from our fellow EGP learners. I'm Dr. Gandalf of EGP Learning, which is designed to help you understand primary care and the tech around it. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast to get every EPIC episode, as it's going to be podcast first. And let's get ready to go EPIC. So if I can, Gareth, quick question there. You mentioned about this working cross practices and with the multiple booking. So if I had a practice A that called their face-to-face appointments, say, for example, with their phlebotomist, face-to-face phlebotomists, and practice B who called theirs phlebotomist face-to-face, am I right in understanding that you can send up a system that allows both of those slots to be mapped to under the same link?
Yeah.
Even though they've not got the same name?
Yeah, I mean, what we would probably do in that scenario is suggest that you have a centralized slot type through Paco Connect. Mm-hmm. But if it was a case of mapping multiple slots, so perhaps the different example to answer the question and tell me if I don't, is if you wanted to send, say, flu and COVID booking appointment slots to patients, and you gave them a choice. So maybe on the digital front door, you set up two buttons. Do you want just flu? Do you want just COVID? Or do you want it co-administered together? Maybe you want the just flu to be run at the surgery, at the practice, but maybe you want the co-administered to be delivered at a PCN location, at a separate location. There's two different slot types that you can kind of map together on the same booking. And the patient is that's not for the patient to be concerned about. You just let them choose what they want to, whether it's location, time, date, or the type of service. Does that answer the question? Sorry.
It does. And I know we're starting to get some questions in, so please feel free to add more questions. We will come to those in a second. I'm going to let Gareth finish off on the stuff he was talking about first, though. So keep going, Gareth.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to touch on care now and then health forms, and then we'll see where we get to in terms of time, if we've got enough time to do any more. So care navigation. Right, let me close our little rocket bar again, put our friend up there. Care navigation. So we saw the digital front door configuration. And we really thought, well, okay, that's to let patients and for us to guide patients how to navigate themselves through the process. And that's great. Let's do the same thing for our staff. So I'm now going to go into a scenario where I search for a patient. I'm not the only patient in here, don't worry. And I'm going to go into care navigation, which is this little icon here. And what that does is it allows me as a practice manager, a digital transformation lead, whatever role it is, or roles as a team, we're able to configure our processes into this. And I've seen everything from the A to Z, approach, system approach versus a more pragmatic, kind of approach. So a quick example here that I just did this morning for you guys, I've created a pop-up to guide my healthcare professional teams using this. So they search for a patient. The patient could be in front of them, could be on the telephone. They may have sent a health form back and you want to guide the staff through how to deal with that health form. Again, you can configure this completely. Any step in your workflow you want to have there, you don't have to call us. You don't have to send an email. You can just go and configure it. So appointment links, for example, you may have these set up and the staff member could at that point click on this and say, okay, I've got the patient on the phone. I could say to them, would you like me just to send you an SMS and or email and send them the booking link? Maybe they want to have a chat with their family, look at their calendar, see when they could actually attend. or would you like me to book it for you? And if you book it for them, you're now into the same patient flow. And the reason we do that is so that when a staff member books, it automatically does things like sends out the confirmation, sends out the reminder. So this is just a nice segue for you to see what is the booking experience for the patient. The patient simply goes through. Will be, there's no availability on that pathway, but that's great. But they'll get a calendar and they'll get a confirmation message of who they're going to see, when they're going to see them, et cetera, et cetera. So that, I'm just going to go back, is our care navigator. And other examples, if I just go back here, welcome, maybe you want to guide staff with your protocols, your process flows. Maybe you want to get them to check date of birth. There might be other kind of process steps that you want staff to take. I have a sore throat. Okay, let's put some of the prompts in that we want people to ask patients. And again, this can be as complex or as simple as you wish it to be. Okay, that's care navigation. As I said before, configuration, hopefully we don't have to cover that too much because it's the exact same as the digital front door. So we can go in, we can say, I want to add a new button under the Blinks demo site. I want to add or change the availability of that. So I don't want staff to be able to access that at this point. Or I want to move it within this whole map of workflow. And I can just select something and put it in a different position or order. So I'll stop there because it looks like a lot of configuration. While we're here, very quickly, appointments. I'm just going to pull this up. There's a couple of things we can do. We can configure our reminders from here, but we can also do batch cancellations, which can be useful. So if you're in the practice on a Monday morning and one member of staff calls up sick, I'm sure that never happens, but calls up sick and you need to cancel a session for a period of time, you could go in and you could look at all the appointments booked. You could filter on a particular clinician. You could filter on appointment date, a session name, ID, etc. All of those things. And then once you've hit kind of the multiple select, you can cancel those in one hit. And it will allow you to choose a campaign that you've built within Blinks, which is a great segue to where we're going next. So we are going to look at health forms quickly, and then we'll look at communication. So the health form inbox, I showed you reviewing the health forms via the Rocket Bar, but of course you can do it in Paco. You can do it just here. You can see, show me everything that's awaiting a review. And we can see I've got a digital front door form to review here. And we can see that it's there. And there's the one that I had before. I didn't process that, which is why it's still there. And that's basically the health form inbox. And we can see all of our reviewed, all of our completed. The really important part in this, and you get to see the same in the Rocket Bar, is we can allow you to see where there's been an alarm triggered. And I'm going to help you understand now what that means. If we go to the health form designer really, really quickly. We've got the ability to create any kind of health form. So I'll show you a few that have already been built. So let's just say coily consent. I'll get a little warning to say this is live. So if you change it, you could affect people receiving that. And what we've got here is a few widgets down the right-hand side that allow you to configure. So if I want to drag in a signature from the patient, maybe I don't. If I want to give a star rating because it's a friends and family kind of health form that we want to send out. If it's a file upload because I know that I'm asking the patient to send me something. Equally, if you want to send the patient something, so I'm in the presence of somebody who's great at videos. Maybe you want to send a little patient video. Let's just look at how you would do that. There's only three options. You edit, you delete, or you move. So you drag it. We're just going to edit that quickly, and we're going to say align it in the center, make it 50% of the size, and I could select my media. So I would have dragged a little video off my phone or off my desktop, dragged it onto my computer, and then just choose a file, and that would upload it. I don't have any pre-made videos, unfortunately, but then that would essentially be available for the patient to see. So what we've got next is, and I'm going to delete that, we're going to take a look at a different form. In fact, we'll keep this one. We've got a consent form here. And so what we'll do is we'll make sure that it's already coded. So we make it required because that's the purpose of the health form in this one. And we've already coded it to say this answer, when they sign it, that should be coded as written consent for procedure. And so you can do that with any set of questions and answers. And to give you some other examples, hopefully, he says, ADHD form, asthma review forms, excuse me. All of these can be coded, every single answer. You can score them. You can weight them. You can have averages posted back into your patient record. And, you know, this is really designed, again, to flex to your needs, your practice's needs, your PCN, your organization's needs, but also your patient needs. So you've got that flexibility to build any kind of health form.
Join us each week on the Well Beyond Medicine podcast as we explore the 80% of child health impacts that occur outside the doctor's office. Listen and subscribe at nemourswellbeyond.org, where you'll hear pediatric experts, researchers, and policymakers from around the world discussing ways they are revolutionizing children's health. I'm your host, Carol Vassar. Let's go.
Let's go.
So I guess that will also work with your automated blood pressure, home blood pressure monitoring readings, does the calculation for you, all that kind of stuff?
Yep. So it does, absolutely. I'm just wondering if I've got that one there. So if we wanted to, that's a great point, actually. I showed you examples there where they're kind of one-off, but if you want this to be a diary, you know, you can just set that up to be a diary. So if we just put it into dark mode for a second, let you see a bit of the different flavor. So I want to make this a scheduled diary. I'm saying it's a daily occurrence, and I want it to be 2 times a day. And I can set the time at which the patient will be allowed to enter that. You could leave that open if you didn't want to specify it, but you can. And at that point, you know, in this case, blood pressure will be passed across, recorded back into the record. Same with things like BMI. If you want to put BMI in there, it'll automatically calculate the BMI and post it back in. If you want to make that, that's not going to be daily, clearly, but you know, you've got full control over how this is posted and passed back into the record. Does that cover that question?
Definitely. Thank you.
Great. So again, we could spend hours just on health forms because you could design anything. We could be creative with that as well. We've done two-part, the registration forms. So we've helped some practices really, really get the patient to do that bit of the work in terms of the bulk of the information, but have it 90% coded. So whatever they answer flies back into the record, you know, things like ethnicity and other things, smoking status, all those kind of pieces that will help, obviously patients ultimately, but also things like, you know, your QOF adherence and other pieces. So that's health forms. Tons more to look at there. I'll try and get the last few pieces in, which is a communication sub. So all of this in terms of any interaction. So we send a quick send, the digital front door sends the patient a message. Our care navigation sends the patient a message. You control that from the hub right here. So we go in, template manager, and I'm going to choose an example of a mental health. And I've got one here that says with a GP message. So that'll be interesting. What's that one? So we'll edit that email. You have a full email editor. You can control everything that goes out to the patient. And as you can see, I said there's a video message from Dr. X, whoever that is. And in my media library, I can insert those. And I've got an example from Dr. Bartlett. Now, you'd be very pleased to know that this is not me. I am attached to a doctor, a genuine doctor. And in this scenario, although that's expired, let's have a look at this one. You can see, you know, scrubs and everything. This is a true example of a doctor. has made a little video to accompany the invitation to explain to the patient. And this example, as you can see, is a test scenario with a Brownlow Health badge on it. So going back to our comms up, we can build templates, SMS and email. We can manage who they go to, and we can build campaigns. And the campaigns really are important because they allow us to control a number of different things. So I'm just going to do a really quick test campaign. Need to give it a unique name. I could make it SMS and email. I could just make it email. I could just make it SMS. But I'm going to do both. The type, if I want to send it out to a bunch of people and I want to schedule it, then that's the schedule. If I want to make it a quick send. And if I want the patient to initiate the process, i.e. it's on the digital front door, then that's how we do that. And here's the little message for the patient. I'm going to say it's mental health review invite. That's a really simple example. I'll hit next, and it'll ask me to select my mental health with GP message. You can see I could see the library and a carousel, so I can take a look at those things. Got all my reminders and confirmation set up. I wanted to add at this point a health form. So every patient that receives this invite, also, we want them to fill out some information. We can do that. We're going to put a mental health review. Let's use that one. And next, continue. Gives you a little warning about the number of fragments that you're using, just to guide you, really. And now I can pick the health form I want to accompany that. And I would choose, in this example, with no other things in my mind, the ADHD health form. Attach that so the patients are being asked to fill that in. I've got some reviewers. I hit next. And I can choose the patient list I want to send it to. So now, in reverse order, I'm just going to show you the last piece. We're kind of good for time. I think, right, we should probably close up. But essentially, that's the full flow of communications being scheduled. What you can also do is schedule that on a bit like an invoicing system. You can schedule that to go on a monthly, a weekly basis, and it will know if a patient's been invited three times. It will code that appropriately for you. But the beauty of it is you could set up something for your diabetes patient list and have that invite go out automatically. So we want to try and help you save time, hopefully have to do less of the kind of searching and chasing after patients by having some level of automation to things like call recall.
And just with that coding, will that work on the basis of, for example, first invite code for immunization, second invite code for immunization, which are slightly different codes and stuff?
So when you configure, you can build what we call tags. And that allows you to say, this is my, let's just say, IMS tag. And what you're able to do is set some criteria. So, you know, is this for specific genders? So you're trying to avoid the wrong patients getting, you know, pulled into this invite. But also, to your point, okay, first, second, third, I can choose the individual SNOMED codes to say, okay, if this is the first time this patient received this, post this code back into. And the same with exclusions and same with SMS, etc. So we can really give you a lot of configuration and control. Again, this is all your tool. It's not us that do it for you in the background. We can, of course, help, but we'd hope you'd be able to do this. We're probably at the risk of draining everybody's attention and also overwhelming people, but you've seen comms up. You've seen the health forms. You've seen the care navigator and the digital front door. We've looked at the rocket bar. We'll take web chat and video at a separate time, and the patient search really is just our way of viewing all the patient data. There's a hugely powerful tool here in the analytics, whether we're talking about capacity and demand, or we're just looking at every code that's in your patient records. But we won't go into that right now. I think it's just safe to say that if I took you through an example, we can have multi-select. So if you're working within a PCN, again, a federation or multiple practices or a group of practices, you can look at that data aggregate with everything down to PID if that's what you wanted to do, as long as the sharing agreements are in place. We put up the data into different pockets for you, so you can see all the observation type data that's coded around your patients. And also, let me just pick a data range that makes sense. I'll go for the last 2,000 days. And you'll see how rapid that is to fetch back, okay, in this case, a very small amount of records because there's only 14 test patients. You can look at the medication data, so you can see all of the analytics in association with the prescriptions. You can get your cough register data, so on and so forth. But the real power is any search you run, and there's numerous examples that we can talk through, especially with prescriptions as an example, and obviously cough. You just hit send to comms up. And whether that's 14 or 1,400, it doesn't matter. You send to comms up, you pick your campaign, and you send that communication out. Again, could be a health form, could be a booking link. So yesterday, worked with the practice to send out all of the cervical screening invites. Again, it's just one hit, and the patients book themselves in. I'm going to call it there and see if there's any questions or if there's anything else I can cover, but I'll hand back. Thank you very much.
No problem. And thank you for that. And I know that when I had a look at the analytics section with Gareth beforehand, it blew my mind at how detailed and in-depth and how powerful it actually is. I remember when you showed it me, actually, it was the height of the ADHD meds challenge, shall we say. And Gareth showed me how you can search for every patient on an ADHD med and be able to send them a quick campaign, say, there's this problem with sourcing your meds. Give us a bit of time. And just the ability to do something like that so quickly and customizable way, I thought was unbelievably amazing, with an interface that is really easy to use. Let's be honest, it's so much easier to use than some of the other challenges we have, the EPRs and that kind of stuff. But I'm aware we've had a few questions come in, and I've got some questions of my own as well. So we are going to have a little look at those now and stuff. So let me just get rid of the screen so we can do that and stuff. And I'm going to jump straight to one of the questions we had come in already from Nikki, who's asked a rather interesting one that comes into play with some of the other stuff that we like to ask on here as a standard. But Nikki's asked for, do your practices need to be on the same clinical system, or can this accommodate clinical systems? And I think this was in particular with that Paco Connect cross booking thing that you were demonstrating to us, Gareth.
Yeah, so I guess we actually saw that was one of the big challenges where you're trying to say work between two systems. Let's just take example systems like EMIS and System One, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And we knew that that would be a problem, which is why we've removed all the kind of write back functionality, if you like, up into the Connect layer. So it does it for you. So it doesn't care which EPR your practices are on. So you know, you would be in here. This is the Connect appointment book. You'd have an appointment come in, which might have come from a System One, might come from an EMIS system booking. It doesn't really matter. You deal with the patient and you basically write back to the home record. And that's as simple as we will keep it for you, because we don't want you to have to worry about, you know, the integration and all that kind of stuff. Again, tech health, not health tech.
Cool. Thank you. And I guess my next question then is, which clinical systems do you currently work with, and what are you planning for the future as well in terms of interoperability?
Yeah, so we're currently, you know, fully EMIS. We're working through with a couple of pilot sites for System One, which we kind of expect to be imminent. Hopefully you'll also be one of them, but don't want to put you on the spot. Certainly, we're looking at other systems, but probably fair to say that we are also looking at building our integration to EPS, ERS, and hopefully with a couple of other integration points later this year, which will enable us to do more and more standalone as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm aware the NHS app is also included on that list.
Absolutely.
As well, isn't it?
Yes, thank you.
So next question we had from Nikki as well, in terms of referrals and ordering blood tests and diagnostics, do you do these through the system? Does it link direct to ERS? And I think this was also shortly after you demonstrated the whole QuickSend stuff and things in terms of where that came from.
Yeah. So our vision is to, work to integrate things like ICE in the coming weeks. And I say weeks because again, this is, we really want to attack this space. We think it's worth it. ERS will follow, and we think there's some benefit in the way that we do batch processing of things. So, you know, not just batch invites, but if we're going to send a batch invite and you know that that whole cohort needs bloods, we want to be able to do that for you and integrate that with part of those requests seamlessly. So, yes, ERS absolutely on the roadmap for this year. And again, hopefully you will see the speed at which we operate. And I'd like to think that if there were any of our customers on this session today, they would attest to the speed of delivery being the one thing that you really will take away as being different.
Cool. I guess if people were thinking of looking at the platform and stuff, what time frame are we talking about in terms of onboarding, getting started with Paco and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so in terms of the actual onboarding, and I think it's always really important to, we try and look at this as to what problems are you trying to solve? So if you were really trying to fix a certain aspect of your practice or your PCN, we really try and uncover that straight away so that we can say you don't need to go for every module being trained out across initially. What you're really looking for is maybe analytics and comms up, or it's the rocket bar and health forms, it's the digital front door. That's really important in terms of the time to onboard, because there's a lot to the system now. In terms of the physical time to kind of the order, we submit an order to your EPR system. Typically, that takes around 2 weeks to process. And what that is we take an extract every night of all the data, but also to enable all the APIs. Essentially, you guys go in, as you probably do today for the providers, you enable the sharing agreements for the data to be extracted and the APIs to be enabled, and we're done. So it can be live within an hour, but clearly we have to have that integration with the EPRs, which, as I said, can take up to sort of 10 days.
Okie dokie. More than happy to take any more questions from the watchers live if you want to and stuff. But in the meantime, I know I've got the questions I ask everybody and stuff. So we talked about onboarding, we talked about interoperability. Cost is a question that always comes up. So how much would it cost for practice / network / other kind of footprints and stuff for Paco / Paco Connect and stuff?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, we operate a tiered pricing. You know, it's pretty standard in the space. Everything is at the patient level. So if we were looking at a practice that was less than, say, 30,000, I think we're at 32 pence per patient per year. But as that scales up, that's for Paco GP. Paco Connect would be an additional around 20 pence per patient per year. So you can consider the two for 50. But if we're then at a bigger scale in terms of, you know, we're looking at 500,000 patients or above that, I think the cutoff line is typically around about the 800,000 that takes us to the top tier of discount. Then that's discounted quite a lot less than that. So in and around the 28 pence and 17 pence respectively.
Cool. Thank you. And you mentioned that speed at which you're able to develop stuff and things. I mean, what is your average developmental cycle time, would you say?
I mean, I think it's really important that we're honest with these things, because I come from, you know, 20 plus way more years than I'd like to admit of working in technology. And we always try and be agile, but in a clinical setting, it's really important that you're not so agile that you become fragile. And I think that's really, really important. So we try and stick to the 2 week cadence. Of course, we are releasing things daily if it's a bug fix, a hot fix. If we want to deliver something ahead of schedule for a certain reason, project, issue out there in the public health setting. But typically we operate the 2 week cycle, which is really, you know, pretty standard.
Cool. And what would you say is coming up next from Blinks and Paco, the next kind of big thing?
Yeah, in addition to the third channel of product, which is the Paco 24 piece, really for us, it's the integration pieces now. So we're heads down looking at the NHS app, which is really pivotal, and we want to make sure that we can deliver on all that integration sort of skill set that we have and make that work really in harmony with the NHS application, but also the rest of the NHS infrastructure. So as we said before, EPS, I want you to be able to you know, order directly from Paco, ICE integration. So all of these things are coming in the next sort of 3 to 6 months, so watch this space for that. One thing we didn't mention is that everything you've seen in terms of things like the quick forms for staff, quick send, it's all mobile. So if you've got a lot of home visits happening, you know, that's a really critical thing. We don't want you to be on paper. We don't want you to have to lug around laptops and get sketchy signal. we can allow you to process data for the patient on your phone and fly straight back into the consultation or into the patient record. But no, they're the things that are in, that's there now. Those are the things mentioned before that are the things that are on the roadmap in the immediate sort of short term.
So just to understand that last part, so you're basically saying that you can document some of your notes and some of that workload remotely through a mobile interface that's safe, secure, and doesn't take 10 minutes to log into.
Correct. So it works on all the same sort of security principles as the main application. Clearly, obviously, you know, we're all responsible for our own devices to make sure that they're secure and kept safe away from malicious users. But otherwise, in terms of the general use of the functionality, yes, there is a mobile version of this, which requires no download. It's simply using the same web application approach, but mobile styled, so that you can use things like a quick form. So again, if I just kind of give you an indication of what that might look like, it would be, you choose the, I'm going to do it via the rocket bar as an example, but we'd select quick form, we'd select our patient, and we'd say, I want to do again, imagine this is on my mobile. I can't share it right now, but I can show you another point. I've set up a health form that is effectively a consultation mode. So, you know, present a complaint history. I can put comments that will go straight into the patient record. I can add codes that will go straight into the patient record. I could upload an image that will go straight into the attachment. So it's that flexibility to use health forms as a healthcare professional entered or a data entry tool as well, as you mentioned. So yeah, all of that is available on mobile.
Awesome. That is amazing for me. Wow. Okay, cool. So
all within that box.
Well, yeah. So thank you for that, Gareth. I know I've had, yet again, every time I see this stuff from yourself, you show me more things. It just make me think, wow, and stuff. So definitely thank you for that. I know the EGP learners seem to be loving it. I posed a question, what do you think of Paco GP by Blinks? And 83% of them have said it's awesome. And the remainder want to know more. So really good feedback and stuff from the thing. And I guess if you're watching this right now and you do want to know more, let us know down in the comments which particular sections you want to know more about. I know for a fact that we're going to be looking at Paco Connect in more detail because there's so much to cover, so much functionality that can offer, particularly from a network federation, bigger footprints and that kind of stuff and how that can work. And, you know, we've definitely seen some brief examples. I think we need to share more examples of that, absolutely, of how that can streamline primary care and healthcare and stuff. So if you do want to see more of this kind of content, let me know down in the comments which particular sections you want to see more about. Alternately, if you want to check out that episode from Paco Connect, when it's done, which shouldn't be too long, that should be coming up right about here. Alternately, you're welcome to join myself on future streams. In particular, we've got one coming up about cloud-based telephony coming up right about here. And we're here to help tech enhance your primary care and learning. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Thank you very much, Gareth. We had a great time on this one. So catch you all soon.
Thank you.
Oh, hello there, EGP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question, because let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, to tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it?
Oh,
and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.